welcome to the Creative Pen Podcast. I'm Joanna Penn, thriller author and professional speaker, bringing you interviews, inspiration and information on writing, publishing options and marketing ideas for your book. You can find the episode show notes, your free Author 2.0 blueprint and lots more information at thecreativepen.com, and that's pen with a double N. And here's the show. Hi everyone, I'm Joanna Penn from thecreativepen.com, and this is episode 154 of the podcast, and today I'm so excited. I can finally tell you what it's all about. I've been desperate. You know, I'm really not very good at keeping secrets. I'm one of these totally open and honest people, and I'm just kind of so excited. Anyway, I'll tell you. So today, Kobo has a competition launching. It's called The Descent, and it is a contest that leads up to Dan Brown's launch of Inferno, which is his next novel. And I'm sure you've all heard of Dan Brown. He's also, I guess, one of the authors who, well, probably the author who got me writing, because it made me realise that my religious and psychology knowledge could go mainstream commercial fiction. And I really do like his books. So I'm a real fan of Dan Brown. And essentially, Kobo have this contest, The Descent, and it's an online contest that is multimedia or cross-transmedia, one of those phrases. But essentially, it starts with three short stories, and you can download the three short stories for free. And within each short story, there are all these clues. Now, guess who's written the stories? Yes, I have. So J.F. Penn, my thriller name, J.F. Penn has written three stories. And I'm so excited to share them with you because they are free, which is brilliant. Well, they're free. Obviously, this podcast will stick around for ages, but they're free from the 25th of April 2013 to around the 20th of May. So for the next month, 2013, they will be free, and then I'll be selling them. So because I have the rights, which is also awesome. So I write these brilliant stories, I dare say brilliant. Hopefully you'll enjoy them. And I also get the rights. So I get the marketing side and I get to sell them later. So there's so many exciting things about this story, but let me explain more about the competition. You can go right now to kobo.com, kobo.com/thedescent, to have a look at the page. And I've also got a page on my blog all about it. But essentially, you download the first story today, and then the stories come out. One comes out next week, and then one the following week, and then the week after that, Dan Brown's book is launched. And you solve the clues in the book, I don't know where it goes. Like, I don't know the answer. All I've done is write the stories, and then they've had a whole team of people doing, you know, building websites and doing cool things in the back end. But if you look, if you download the ebook, you'll see there are URLs and there are pictures and images and codes within the ebook that you can use to work out the next clue. So people who like Dan Brown and kind of puzzles are going to love it. If you've read Dante's Inferno, obviously Dan Brown is using Dante's Inferno, and I've also used Dante's Inferno for the competition. So if you've read that book, you'll understand a lot more of the context of the clues. You can also download Dante's Inferno for free on that Kobo page, so kobo.com/thedescent. So you can download Dante, you can download my book, and then you can actually find all the hidden symbolism. There is so much symbolism, you wouldn't believe it. It was actually quite funny because I wrote the stories, I made up the stories first with the guidelines of, you know, they must resonate with Dan Brown and Inferno. And then they came back with all these kind of extra layers of symbolism. So they're chock full of symbolism. So you'll enjoy it more, I think, if you understand a bit more about Dante's Inferno. For example, it's called Inferno, but the centre of hell is actually ice. So I think sometimes people will be a bit confused. And the cover of the first story, which is called Sins of Temptation, the cover has a sort of wild, a she-wolf on it. And the she-wolf is one of the three beasts that Dante sees at the beginning of his journey, who represents the category of sin. And so I've woven lust, gluttony and greed into the story. And it's kind of, there's a bit of a nod to Lovecraft, H.P. Lovecraft as well, and supernatural kind of horror elements. So I hope you enjoy it. So go and download the ebook at kobo.com/the descent. Now, you don't have to have a Kobo, you don't have to have a Kobo reader. You can join up for free. You can read it on your iPhone or your whatever device you have. You can read it on an iPad. You can read it on your computer. And it's only, the first story is 3,000 words and the longest story is around 5,000 words. So it's really not that long. And so very, very cool. It's at least worth doing. Oh, I haven't even told you. The prizes, so the first prize is $5,000. I presume 5,000 US dollars. And essentially, the first person to get through all the clues and reach the winning web page, you know, the web page where all the clues lead, wins the $5,000. But there's a whole load of other prizes, including Kobo Glow e-readers signed by Dan Brown himself, which I'd be quite keen on, to be honest. I am a Dan Brown fangirl. So that's quite cool. You can also monitor hashtag Kobo Descent for any extra clues or discussions that are going on. So that might be worthwhile. I'm pretty sure they will release kind of extra clues through social media as well. But although, as I say, I don't know, because I mean, unfortunately, I can't enter the competition because it would look wrong if I won. But actually, I don't know anything about it. So I'm really excited. So I'm actually, today, the podcast is also a little different because I'm actually going to read you story one, Sins of Temptation, which will be quite funny because it's written in first person point of view and written as a man, but I haven't put on an accent. I've just read it with my voice, quite a serious voice, obviously not my jolly voice. Pretend that I'm a man as you're listening to it. The second story launches next week, and I'm super excited about that one because it's called Sins of Violence, and it features the post-apocalyptic city of Dis. And if you've read Inferno, you'll know that Dis is the city in the circles of hell, and with these sort of fires burning on the portals, and it's very cool. And I loved writing the post-apocalyptic story. It was awesome, so much so that I really fancy writing a post-apocalyptic novel. That may well happen at some point, but it's so not my genre, but I loved it, absolutely loved it. And then the third week, Sins of Treachery, is more of a kind of supernatural crime story, you know, more like what I normally write, but set in the frozen far north. So very, very cool. It's exciting to see what's going to happen with this competition, but I'm particularly happy that my name is sort of wound up with Dan Brown's in this whole escapade. So again, you can sign up at kobo.com/the descent now, and you do need to download all three ebooks to be in to win the prize. Even if you don't like the stories, you might still want to go in the competition. I would say they're quite dark, so you know, bit sexy, bit dark, bit not horror, really not horror. It's not nasty, but nasty enough. It is Dante's Inferno. I mean, if you read the book, it's full of people being mutilated and, you know, murdered, and oh, it's horrible. People dying over and over again and tortured, and they had to be dark stories. It just had to be. So I'm so glad I got the opportunity. So I'm sure many of you are actually wondering how I got the opportunity. Well, all I'm going to say really about that is that people wonder sometimes about the ROI or the return on investment with social media, with blogging, with Twitter, with podcasting, with videos, all of those things. People are always saying, well, you know, shouldn't I spend my time writing? And I found that the best outcomes of all of these things online are relationships. So it's fine if you're making relationships in another way, but to be fair, I actually think for introverts like us authors, making relationships online is fantastic. And essentially this opportunity happened through relationships and through somebody thinking of me at the right time when this came up. And all that is just me being out there and, you know, open and honest. So I'm incredibly grateful for the opportunity and the people who were involved in that. And I would say that I, amusingly, I'd never written a short story before. And of course, when the opportunity came up, I was like, yes, I'm totally up for this. This is brilliant. And I went and read about 50 short stories. I spent a good couple of days reading short stories to really try and understand how that medium worked. And I tell you what, I think I'm addicted to it. I'm so loving it. I'm getting ideas for short stories all over the place. And I think it's really amazing, because with a novel you've got to have so much more going on, but in a short story you can kind of encapsulate a small vignette of life and something crazy and leave questions in the mind of the reader. And oh, I love it. So I think I've got so many things on my list I want to do, but I do think that that short fiction is fantastic. And of course, with ebooks, it means we can do shorts, we can sell shorts for 99 cents, or we can put them together in anthologies and sell them, and we can do audio of them, like I've done with this story one. And I think it's a really great, variation on something that I assumed that I would just write novels. So this is amazing for me in all kinds of ways, but I hope it's also amazing for you. I would be so stoked if one of my audience won the $5,000. It would be awesome. So I really want you all to enter the competition and try and win it. And it would definitely suit people who like Dan Brown, or people who know Dante's Inferno, or go and read it. It's really pretty short, and as I said, you can get it for free at kobo.com/thedescent, thedescent. So check that out. So next up will be me reading you my short story, and next week we'll be back to interviews, and I've got a brilliant interview coming up, which you'll really like. It's going to be much more about the writing craft of discipline and that type of thing. I'm really looking forward to it. So here we go. Here's the short story. Sins of the Flesh, a short story inspired by Dante's Inferno, written by J.F. Penn and read by the author. I left the hysterical housekeeper downstairs with my partner and strode up the wide staircase to the first floor, my feet sinking into the plush carpet, my hand clasping the bronze railing to speed my journey upwards. The call had come in towards the end of our shift, and I was keen to assess the scene quickly so I could get out of uniform and into the bar as fast as possible. Since Jeannie had left, I could no longer bear our meagre apartment, a constant reminder of the myriad failings of my career and tainted love. As I walked upwards, I felt a pang of jealousy as I took in the riches of this man's kingdom. His smallest closet probably contained more than everything I own, I thought, as I reached the top of the stairs and paused to catch my breath. But even the richest man could not escape what must come to us all, and affluence meant nothing to a corpse. The stink of death reached me as I turned towards a partially open door made of dark oak, intricately carved with symbols of alchemy and superstition. I bent to look closer and found every sign of protection against evil spirits carved there. The inverted horseshoe, the Islamic blue and white charm to ward off the evil eye, and a Catholic saint holding up a cross against Satan's encroachment in his right hand, surrounded by the letters CSPB. A Jewish mezuzah of teal Venetian glass was nailed to the doorframe, its holy verses on parchment scroll, denying destructive agents access, according to the promises of Kabbalah mysticism. This man had clearly tried everything to stop supernatural forces from reaching him, but the stench told me that death had stolen in here, despite his attempts at metaphysical protection. I was no stranger to the dead, but now I felt the need for that extra ounce of courage, for a curious dread had taken hold of me, a leaden coldness that spread through my limbs. I thought with longing of the hip flask hidden in the vehicle below, craving the swig of vodka to help me focus my mind on the task ahead. I didn't want to see what was beyond this door, but I crushed down the insidious fear and reached forwards to push the door fully open. The door creaked and wind chimes jangled to scare away malicious spirits, the sound bringing an incongruous sense of life to the inert atmosphere. I put my hand to my nose, trying unsuccessfully to mask the foul odour of voided bowels and rotting flesh that pervaded the room. My sweeping gaze took in the ornate richness, and then the dead body splayed wide on the antique four-poster bed hung with embroidered curtains. On white satin sheets, now hideously stained with bodily fluids, lay a naked man, bulging flesh on a morbidly obese body, lying in a vile slush of his own foul emissions. Christopher Farewald had been a famous author who made millions from his novels, many of them adapted for the big screen, but he hadn't been seen in years. Now I understood how his physical disfigurement had turned him into a recluse, avoiding the public eye. Accustomed to the stink now, I moved closer to the bed to examine the corpse. Flies rose into the air at my approach, swollen from feeding, their buzzing indignant at my interruption of their feast. Every inch of the man's bloated skin was covered with tattooed words. They may have been legible once, when his skin was young and taut, but now they had morphed into grotesque shapes, open vowels that threatened to swallow, and sharp consonants, each cut into his flesh. The ink used to inscribe them was a dark crimson stain, and I shuddered at the terrible thought that the words were written in his own blood. But surely this must be a fantastical idea, awoken by this macabre den, for the walls were covered in crucifixes and painted with pentacles, and ancient holy books were cluttered in piles on the floor. Farewald had clearly retreated here to fight his own demons, locked into some kind of madness brought about by his own imagination. The man's face was a rictus of horror, a gaping grimace as if he had witnessed the denizens of hell streaming out of the maw of Hades and died of terror to look upon them. A thin stiletto knife and a mirror lay next to him on the bed, as if they had fallen from his hands. It looked like he had been trying to carve more words into his forehead, perhaps even as he died. I could barely read the disfigured flesh, but it looked like the beginnings of a prayer for deliverance. As I examined him more closely, I could see that strips of flesh had been torn from his limbs, leaving weeping, open wounds that now crawled with maggots. It looked as if he had died in the middle of being tortured by some perverse criminal. But what could anyone want of this man other than his vast wealth? Yet there were no signs of forced entry and nothing had been taken according to the housekeeper. I glanced around the room. The opulence a reflection of the rest of this grand property, dominated by the occult fetishes of his apparent obsession. The dying sun flooded through a pair of large bay windows, suffusing the room with a ruby glow and a touch of flame. Outside it was darkening now, and I could see thick purple clouds gathering like blood blisters across the sky, the beginnings of an unseasonal storm evident in the rain that pattered against the window. A wide wooden desk looked out towards a small church that squatted at the edge of a wood, perhaps Farewald's personal chapel, since it lay within his vast estate out here on the edges of civilization. Apparently he had purchased this place before he rose to the heights of popular success and bought luxury properties around the world. Personally, I'd rather be on the beaches of Monaco than hold up here to die in obscurity, but he had been obsessed with the place. To the right of the desk, one whole wall was devoted to erotic images, with gorgeous art morphing into pornography, and I couldn't help but look closer. Sandstone carvings from the Hindu temple of Khajuraho depicted orgies of debauchery, with bodies entwined in yogic poses as they thrust and writhed together. a set of art house black and white photographs revealed scenes from a dungeon, as scarred and whipped bodies were soothed by gentle tongues. Amongst the frenzied sensory overload, a small print caught my eye, portraying naked human figures swept into a hellish vortex, embracing each other with desire, even as they were sucked into oblivion. William Blake's Circle of the Lustful, I read in the text below, and I couldn't help but glance back at the obscene figure spread-eagled on the bed, pushing away the repugnant image of this bloated man engaged in carnal acts. But beneath the mound of flesh, fattened from years of gluttony and excess, Fairwald's bones were aristocratic, although he was now a shade of the handsome man he had once been, a magnet for beautiful women and envied by men for his success. I picked up a Hollywood-style photo frame from the desk, the picture within showing him in a slim-fit white tuxedo dancing a waltz, his strong arms wrapped around a stunning young woman who smiled up at him with cornflower blue eyes. I imagined them together, her shining blonde hair a veil that hid her eyes as they darkened with wanton pleasure. Envy surged within me, and the need to drink almost drove me back to the car, desperate to tip even the tiniest dribble into my mouth. I pushed down the cravings and turned to examine the desk, using my pen to flick open a leather diary that sat in pride of place. On the final page, Fairwall's last words stared up at me, written in the same dark red ink, but diseased with tinges of purple and rusty clots that stained the thick ivory paper. She comes tonight to claim what I promised in exchange so long ago. I didn't believe her words back then, didn't think at all, but what she offered has come to pass, and yet still I struggle to believe my soul can be so taken from me. I know I must pay the price for my sin, but if I can, I will prevent another from falling as far as I have done. With no self-indulgent pleasure bloating a soul to feed upon, she must sink back to the depths from which I summoned her. I have hidden the book, so she will have to sleep again. It is buried, and I am finished, but perhaps this last act will earn me a sliver of redemption. The diary page was signed with his name and yesterday's date, the handwriting measured, sane and deliberate, but the words read like one of his novels. Was he living within the realms of fantasy when he passed so violently into the next world? Looking over again at the man's horrified face, I knew that his agony had not been mere imagination. My eyes were drawn out the window to the church again, for he had sat here looking at it when he wrote those last words, and I felt a prickle of sensation, as if those murky portals called to me. Could he have buried this strange book within? Something dark began to uncoil within me, and I felt compelled to delve deeper, for I knew that I would exchange much to experience the riches this man had enjoyed. Running back down the stairs, I called out to my partner that I had to investigate further evidence outside. He shouted after me, but I ignored him, caught up in the sensation that I must get to the chapel, and that time was of the essence. Part of me wondered at this desperate insistence, but I felt possessed by something beyond my control. As I stepped outside, the light rain that had been falling morphed into an icy sleet, and the heavy purple clouds above me split open with lightning. Thunder rolled across the desolate space between the house and the church, and I was buffeted violently as opposing winds clashed all around. I pulled my coat tighter, fighting against nature as if I was pushing a great weight ahead of me into a squall sent from hell itself to tear this sombre valley apart. Each step across the open ground was a huge effort, but when I finally made it to the lych gate at the entrance of the tiny churchyard, the storm had eased a little, the rain lighter now, although the wind still howled around me. The church was old and partly ruined, with stone blocks that had fallen to the grass below, and eroded gargoyles hanging skewed from the edges of broken masonry. The present facade seemed to be built upon a more archaic structure, stones that had perhaps been worshipped as pagan gods in the days before Christ. I had imagined that I was running to sanctuary, but now I felt that the miasma of the place was oppressive and malevolent. Yet I still wanted to enter, my curiosity deeply roused to search for the mysterious book. Stepping carefully along the overgrown rocky path, I noticed that the plants blooming in the churchyard were withered, all colour leached from them. Yet they still covered the earth thickly, rising up from around the edges of tombstones as if growing from the bones beneath. The fury of the storm surged again, crackling with energy, wind whipping round in tornado spirals, lifting the heads of strange albino flowers to the sky. Dust and ashes blew into my eyes, painting the scene with the desolate grey of morning. I rubbed them frantically to clear my vision and hurried into the porch, my face brushing against something soft as I stumbled out of the wet gloom. I reeled back to see a dead crow hung by the neck above me, blue-black feathers still adhering to decaying flesh, its eyes open and unseeing. Pulling at the great door, I found it opened with a sigh as the wind was sucked inside, filling the void with the desolation of chill air. I stepped through, my footfall stirring dust from the floor, the noise echoing around the deserted building which absorbed the sound hungrily. The light inside was an amethyst haze from the heavy storm clouds that barely penetrated the nave through intricate stained glass windows. Looking up at them, I discerned the images of tortured saints, martyred in the most ingenious ways for the glory of their God. This place seemed to venerate death rather than eternal life, and ahead of me, a life-size crucifix hung behind the altar. Christ's face, a skeletal version of the dead Faerwald, as if the Son of God could see what hell awaited him beyond the veil. My eyes dropped to the altar, draped in cloth that had once been pure white, but which now hung in dirty, dismal tatters. As the holiest place in the building, it was the most fitting place to bury such a book, so I walked towards it, across flagstones carved with the names of those buried here. On one broad surface, the names of the dead ran into each other, like the broken words on Faerwald's body, a mass grave of victims who perished together in some ancient plague. I usually felt a calm peace within churches, a sense of something holy, but this place was malignant and hungry, taking each breath faster than I could exhale it. A pair of candlesticks coated in melted wax rested on the altar, the gold of their surface dulled by dust, but I could just make out the twisted figures of crucified angels, tortured by the implements of martyrdom, their mouths open and calling to a God who had deserted them. This was a strange church indeed where such objects were venerated, but I was compelled to discover more. In the centre of the altar was a box, a tabernacle for the host, the bread of the Eucharist turned into Christ's body for the consumption of the faithful. I pushed the lid open to see a mass of crawling maggots within, their swollen white bodies wriggling over each other to get at the crumbs of wafer, an unholy miracle of rotting sustenance somehow sustained in this unnatural place. Sensing that the book was close, I knelt down at the altar, and a momentary chink appeared in the madness that possessed me. My resolve wavered, and I knew I should just walk away now, leave the church and be done with this place. But other thoughts intruded. My sordid apartment, the fighting neighbours that disturbed my sleep, the debts I owed at the bar, and the need to top up my vodka supply ever more frequently. To walk away now was only to return to that life, but this book was something precious, valuable enough to be hidden here, a secret that perhaps I could unlock or sell at the very least. My mind made up, I crawled around the altar, feeling the flagstones for any evidence that they had been lifted. The dust and grime of years layered my frantic fingers as I searched, and finally I found a place that had been brushed clean. The flagstone was carved with a strange symbol, a curling filigree of loops ending in a forked demon's tail, crossed through with a shaft and Roman numerals, all surrounded by a roundel of letters. It was cracked through the centre, with a chink at the side, and as my heart pounded with excitement, I levered it open. In the violet light that touched the stone with a sickly haze, I saw the book, and immediately I felt a visceral desire to possess it, an emotional wave that overwhelmed me with infatuation. My hands clutched at the book, pulling it to my chest like a long-lost child. The cover was soft leather, a patchwork of colours reminiscent of the varieties of human skin tone, and it smelled of ancient herbs, a heady scent of rich tombs and incense disguising the darker note of death. It opened beneath my eager hands, and I tried to read the first words aloud. They were strange sounding in my mouth, but within a few lines I could not hold back the torrent that flooded from me. It was as if the book spoke through me, and as my voice grew stronger, it echoed in the nave of the deserted place, rivaling even the power of the storm that raged outside. As I reached the end of the powerful prayer, the world seemed to tremble and split as sounds of lamentation filled the air. I crouched down, utterly terrified, screwing my eyes tight shut, trying to block the cacophony with my hands. Words of agony assaulted my ears in horrible dialects, with the sounds of pounded flesh, as tortured spirits howled like dogs on the hunt. Then all at once it was over, and I heard soft footsteps in the silence that followed. Emerging from a side chapel, where I had thought lay only tombs, came the woman from the photograph who had danced with such abandon all those years ago with the young and handsome author. Her long silken hair hung loose, with flowers wound at the crown, as if she had just woken from dappled sleep on the banks of a sparkling stream. Her skin glowed with an internal light, like the alabaster from Egyptian tombs, and her full lips were a deep peony pink. I watched her tongue dart out to lick them, and my breath was drawn from me by her beauty. Her eyes were blue as a cornflower meadow, languid like a summer day, and, gazing into mine, offered pleasures beyond my imaginings. As she walked towards me, I could see the outline of her perfect breasts, straining against the white gossamer of the long flowing dress. She exuded innocence with an edge of erotic knowing, and as she drew closer, I could scarcely draw breath. She pressed herself against me, her cool hand feathering down my chest to my belt. "Through me, there is everything you desire in this life," she whispered as her hand moved lower. "You only have to write it on your skin, and it will be yours." Her lips touched mine, her tongue darting out to lick delicately at the corner of my mouth. "And there is only one tiny thing I want in return." My lips opened against hers, and I pushed all thought of Fairwald's bloated body from my mind, for surely his diary could only be the ravings of a madman. You can find more stories by J.F. Penn, as well as the Arcane series of thrillers, at www.jfpenn.com or at all online bookstores. Thanks for listening today. I hope you found it helpful. You might also like the backlist episodes at thecreativepen.com/podcasts. You can also get your free Author 2.0 blueprint at thecreativepen.com/blueprint. If you'd like to connect, you can tweet me at The Creative Pen or find me on Facebook at The Creative Pen. See you next time!